Hello, this is Jim Wright. You are about to listen to an exciting program entitled Your Personal Boundaries, Danger Signals, and How to Recover Your Power, presented by Connie Shaw. Connie Shaw is an author, life coach, international speaker, and media guest. Connie has helped thousands of people in many countries to improve their communications, heal their relationships, and leave their comfort zones to reach new levels of productivity and happiness. In order to maximize this and other podcasts, you may want to listen to it several times and take notes while listening. Furthermore, to reinforce changes you'd like to make, you can put index card reminders beside your telephone, on your desk and calendar, and in your car. Now, here's Connie Shaw with Your Personal Boundaries.
Thank you, Jim. What are personal boundaries, you may ask, and why do we need them? Personal boundaries are the invisible fences that keep other people from insidiously encroaching upon our time, energy, talents, emotions, possessions, money, integrity, power, self-esteem, or bodies. You could say that personal boundaries signal that we do not want to go there, or we don't want other people to go there. When you're clear about your personal values and morality, about your level of comfortable generosity to others, and about what types of people and behavior drain or irritate you, then you'll easily signal clear boundaries to others about what you will and won't tolerate. Here are some examples of requests by other people that you may have received and even agreed to because you didn't know how to decline. You've bought something you didn't want or need because you felt sorry for the salesman. Or you went on a vacation with someone you didn't like. Let's say you went out on a date with someone who presumed more than you intended and who became aggressive. Or you kept a friend who repeatedly lied, arrived late, or otherwise let you down. Our personal boundary system allows us to be self-respectful and to honor and respect others, as well as to be sensitive and appropriate when sharing our reality. If we have realistic boundaries, we can influence other people in positive ways. However, if we're heedless of the boundaries of others, we'll alienate, confuse, or anger them without realizing why they're not responding positively to us. Trusting interactions are based in part on clearly demonstrated boundaries, which are strong yet flexible, and which can provide a foundation for mutual sharing, for intimacy or authenticity, and personal growth. Because of our misplaced need to please, however, we can let our boundaries slip gradually with catastrophic consequences that can last years. Now, danger signals of unhealthy boundaries appear in many different areas of our lives. They can appear in our speech, in areas of personal control and personal reality, in areas of abuse by others, and in relationships. Let's take the area of speech. One of the danger signals in speech is telling all or revealing too much personal data so that other people are uncomfortable or may even be tempted to exploit you. For example, let's say that you are very excited because you have just received an unexpected inheritance, and you tell this friend and that about your plans for spending it. Don't be surprised if people that you slightly know begin to pester you for loans or for gifts. Another one in speech is talking at an intimate level upon first meeting someone. For example, it's totally inappropriate to start talking with a stranger about your divorce or health problems or your ungrateful adult child. The next category concerns areas of control over your life or control over the lives of others. Now, in areas of control, there are several things that I'd like to address But first, I'd like to tell you about a story of a counseling client I had about 25 years ago who was visiting the United States from the Philippines. Let's just call her Patty. Patty had a breakthrough day when she visited me for a counseling session. After about the third session, she told me that at age 4, her uncle would plop her on his knee, talk to her kindly, tickle her, then give her candy and abuse her. She really, really loved her uncle, and her uncle was very popular in the family. But even at age 4, Patty knew that what she was doing was wrong, and she finally said when she realized how this one particular behavior of wanting to please others had actually controlled her whole life. She said, "Look at me. Now I'm 50 pounds overweight, and I'm addicted to sugar. I knew I was out of integrity at the time, even though I couldn't articulate it to myself in a very sophisticated way. I knew I was doing bad things because I wanted the candy." And she said, "I realized that my need to please others was my enemy. Now I know it. Then I didn't know it." So Patty's desire to please her uncle and to get candy caused her to be out of integrity with herself for decades. Is there something you're doing in your life that's causing you to be out of integrity with yourself because you're doing something or giving something in order to get something else? In areas of control, we can see that there are 5 main points. 1, not noticing when someone else encroaches upon your boundaries. For example, telling a story that's in poor taste, asking to borrow money, talking too long on the telephone without asking whether or not you have the time to spare. 2, letting others direct your life. For example, letting your spouse reorganize your office, or letting your mother reorganize your living room, even though you like it the way it is. 3, allowing others to take as much from you as they can without giving. For example, they may always want to borrow things from you, to have you always drive when you go someplace together, to have you be the one that supplies information or energy or comforts for them. 4 is the flip side. This would be you're expecting others to take care of you. For example, to fix things for you, to take you places, to provide things for you, and to pay for your meals. 5 is letting people force gifts on you, knowing that sooner or later they're going to expect something in return. This means then not accepting food, meals, gifts, dates, entertainment, money, vacations, touch, or sex that you don't want because ultimately it's too costly. 6 is not letting other people define or describe you and your reality. 7, not allowing another person to take you for granted or act as if he or she owns or possesses you or considers you a plaything. This brings me to a story that I'd like to mention about a man at a party one time named Chuck. Actually, Chuck and I had been acquaintances for some years, and Chuck was rather a familiar sort of person who was very happy-go-lucky and a bit of a glad-hander. He came up to a small group with whom I was talking. He draped his arm around my shoulder, and then immediately, without apologizing for interrupting the conversation, just started talking to the other people and said, "Now, Connie here thinks such and such. She believes so and so." I was a little surprised at first, but I stood my ground, and as tactfully and kindly as I could, I said, "Actually, Chuck, that is not the prism through which I look. I'm afraid you're mistaken. Actually, that's your projection. You know, there is a saying that I can't know you and you can't know me. We can only know our stories about each other. But I'm afraid that you are mistaken about this." Chuck was shocked. He looked deeply into my eyes to see if I meant him any harm. And when he saw that I was smiling and that I was looking at him encouragingly but firmly, he mumbled something about apologizing and that he guessed he had really been off base and he hoped he hadn't offended me or anybody else, and then he walked away. Later, when he saw each other, he said, "You know, I just really thought I knew you inside out, but I've been thinking about what you said. We really can't know other people. Now I'm taking a look at my own thoughts, and what I see is that practically everything is projection. Thanks. You really saved me a lot of grief, and again, I'm sorry." I said, "Chuck, there's no reason to be sorry, but I did feel that you needed to have a few things pointed out to you, and that seemed like the perfect time." Next, we come to the topic of addictions and dysfunctional patterns. The cost of ignoring your own inner boundaries and your patterns of self-abuse will escalate each time you avoid the lesson and re-encounter it yet again. In other words, you overstep the boundaries of your own character and integrity when you foster the vain belief that you can find lasting wholeness, peace, freedom, or fulfillment through anyone or anything outside your connection to Source. Next, we come to areas of abuse. There are five different points I'd like to talk about here. One is work abuse, and that means too much work, work days too long, with not enough laughter, relaxation, or play. You know, in our society, there are a few types of abuses that are not generally recognized as such and are even rewarded by the society. One is work abuse. Another one is any type of gambling abuse. And there are various sexual abuses that are not generally recognized as what they truly are. Two, food abuse. Too many unconscious calories, non-nutritious food and drink, and harmful drugs. Three, self-abuse. Harmful habits, dangerous hobbies and pastimes, unprotected sex, alcoholism, drug addiction from prescription or street drugs, TV addiction, shopping addiction, credit card abuse, gambling, pornography, or promiscuous sexuality. Four, physical abuse, hurting yourself or allowing others to harm you. You know, there's a saying in social work that only the abused person can end abuse by leaving, by self-defense, or by keeping strong boundaries. If he or she doesn't heal the issue of why they're allowing other people to abuse them, they'll attract another person and another who will mistreat them. Oftentimes, they're acting out relationships from their upbringing with their parents. Finally, a person who's been abused needs to come to the realization, "I am no longer addicted to being abused and used by other people." The last one, number five, is mental abuse. Being preoccupied with another person or being obsessed with someone or something and acting against your personal values in the attempt to please other people. The last category is in relationships. There are six particular areas in the relationship category. One is believing that others can and should anticipate your needs. That's your job, not theirs. Other people are not mind readers. Two, falling apart or acting dumb or helpless, so someone will take care of you or do favors for you that you're capable of doing yourself. When you provide for your own needs, you are free and you're unobligated to accept gifts or other resources from other people is oftentimes too costly in the long run. Three, falling in love with anyone who extends help to you or who reaches out in empathy. Four, falling in love with a new acquaintance. Five, acting on your first sexual instinct or impulse and regretting it time and time again. Six, faking sexual contentment or being sexually aggressive or passive merely for your partner, rather than feeling genuine regard, attraction, and affection from within yourself. This causes you to misuse yourself as a machine rather than as a sensitive instrument of love and compassion. As a result, you will eventually feel resentment or hostility toward yourself and your partner. I've enjoyed spending time with you, and I wish you success in establishing boundaries until they become automatic. There's a saying that a person has to have a strong enough ego or sense of self to be able to begin the spiritual process of surrendering complete identification with ego. The same is true of boundaries. When we know fully who we are and we stand in our strength and our light and our power, then eventually we'll be able to surrender boundaries because our signals to others will be strong and clear. In summary, here are 4 action tips for success in setting and maintaining your boundaries. 1. Place visual reminders of your new intentions on index cards at home and at work. At work, they can be code words that you understand but others don't. 2. Say no clearly and often and stick to your resolve. Practice, for example, saying, "Which part of no don't you understand?" 3. Be clear before you step out the door about your boundaries for any date, meeting, sales encounter, or social event. 4. Carry index card notes with you and read them in the restroom at least once for reinforcement.